Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the baby, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get time!
Well, family, with another Parents Culture Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and, well, hopefully we'll get to the dilemma that I had in the first half hour where I had some type of... computer glitch, and I'm not sure exactly what that was all about, but hopefully we can get through it and we can get on track with this next show, and we can go from there. So hopefully I can get my caller to call in and we can have another wonderful show, as I always promise you. But I see I got my switchboard up and working today for this part. So I'm going to go ahead and kick in with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the form, out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Well, you know, as I said, I'm my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and his thing is, we're making smart cool. We're making smart cool. Well, you know, I tried in the first half hour to have a couple of young men call in that's out there. One's currently playing college ball, and the other one is playing overseas. These two top athletes were phenomenal in their times in the high school days and, you know, really got a lot out of the sport. And did some great things, and I really and truly like what they're doing. You know, but mainly, I watched them as they maintained that high level of performance. I watched them as they stayed humble and stayed true to the game and kept things going as they worked hard to be a part of a great program at the high school that they were at. Both of them attended the same high school, ended up going to two separate different colleges. One is older than the other one, of course. But, you know, what they did with themselves and, you know, recently suffered a severe tragedy in their family, you know, where, you know, a loved one passed away. But I think they are still maintaining, and I wanted to talk to them a little bit about that, and not only just a little bit about that, but some other great things that they haven't been able to do. But, you know, one thing that I want to focus on in this second half is just peak performance and how athletes are able to maintain peak performance. So I can't talk about peak performance because I'm not the expert in the field, but I went out and got an expert. We've had her on the show one time before, Ms. Lauren Fogelman, and Lauren comes to us from way out west, so we have to appreciate her taking the time to get up early in the morning. It's probably early in the morning for her to get up to do the show for us. But Lauren comes to us, and she's going to provide us with another wonderful show. If you remember before when I had Lauren on, Lauren shared some information with us, and this was just prior to to show necessary roughness, where they had actually interviewed Lauren afterwards. L.A. Times had interviewed Lauren afterwards to ask her opinion on some of the things that they were doing on the show. But right now, we're going to go to Lauren and see what Lauren's had to share with us today. Good afternoon, ma'am. Are you with us?
I sure am, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful now that I done got through this glitch, and we seem like we're going to have a show.
Excellent.
So, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It must have been the good graces that you were brought in with the West Coast Lines or whatever that made this thing happen for us this afternoon.
Or well, I'm all about performance, so there you go.
There you go. That's it. Well, you know, from the last time we talked to you up until this here point, you know, I know you've been doing some additional things. I've had an opportunity to look at some of the videos that you're putting out there and some of the other media material, and to constantly get the newsletters and updates from you on what's going on. So what exactly do you do? And let's give an overview of that peak performance thing one more time.
Sure. So what I really work on is getting into the athlete's mental game, really looking at how their approach, how their thoughts can either set them up for reaching their full potential and being able to stay cool, calm, and confident under those high-pressure moments, or how they just get too much in their head. And when they're in their head, it actually slows them down, their body tightens up, and they're just holding themselves back on so many different levels. So my goal is to show them how to get out of their head, have more trust and confidence in what they do, and really be able to go the full distance under any circumstance.
You know, that's a very unique term that you put out of their head. You know, I've never heard it put that way, and I truly understand exactly what you're saying. Give me a little bit more insight of what you mean by out of their head.
Sure. So let's go with over the weekend Super Bowl and Kaepernick. So what happened with him in the first half of the game was that he didn't have the full confidence because he's a rookie player. He's never been in a Super Bowl before, and there were some things that were maybe going on, or he felt his own pressure, and he made some mistakes along the way in the first half of the game. But after the power outage, there was a switch that happened between the Ravens and the 49ers, where during that 35-minute power outage, the Ravens actually had some doubt creep in. So they actually had a disruption in their momentum. They weren't focused and in the zone anymore. And that gave Kaepernick an edge to be able to step up and get back into the game. And he was at a point where they were so far behind in the game as far as the score went that he was able to take some risks and just trust that he knew how to pull it together. And that's why they had such a great comeback with 17 unanswered points after the power came back on.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you say that. And, you know, it's almost like you said that, you know, somebody listening would think that, you know, when that power switch went back on, that also was the switch that turned on Kaepernick as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing. You know, you look at a young player like him and look at how, again, like you said, at the beginning of the game, he wasn't focused. And then, you know, after that power outage, he had a chance to settle down. His nerves calmed down a bit. And then he was able to hit that switch and turn it on and take a few risks. Compare mm-hmm. him to a player like Ray Lewis, who jumps into the game fully confident. Would you say that's a player that constantly has a high performance level or knows exactly what's going on in his head?
I think that one of the things that happens that we need to recognize is no matter which player we're talking about, they all have fear of something. There's something that might hold us back or we have concerns about. And it's not about if you have fear or don't have fear. It's how you respond to the fear when it shows up that really makes the difference between the players that have that confidence and they're willing and able to do anything under pressure and the ones that start to hold back. And when they hesitate, you know, just a 1 second can make a difference between whether they get tackled or they have an interception or whatever it is. So it's really about how you respond to it as opposed to whether you have fear or not.
Okay. So you're talking about the great things that players can do to get over the fear and players can do to refocus. Are there any acronyms or anything that you can share with us, or three or four steps that you can share with us that helps players refocus and get back on track?
The first thing I would recommend is that when you're in practice, you actually practice for all the things that could go wrong in a game, so that when it actually does happen, you've already have some ideas to how to respond to it, and it doesn't disrupt your train of thought or your momentum. So that's really the first thing that I would look at. And really, performance is about speed and agility. But it's not just physical speed and agility. It's mental speed and agility also. Can you quickly, you know, figure out what's going on, be able to go through the possibilities in your head, and then quickly make a decision that you're willing to commit to and act on? And that's really important, is the more that you can train to be able to respond under pressure, the more you're likely to really stay focused and reach your full potential no matter what's going on around you.
Okay. You mentioned the part about speed and agility and that quick reaction, and not only your physical speed and agility, but your mental speed and agility. How does an athlete get through or get that clarity in his head? Because most of the time, you know, they have so many different things going on. How do they really focus or hone in on that particular aspect to get that clarity, to be able to have that type of reaction?
Mm-hmm. Well, just like you train over and over and over again for different types of techniques and to be able to improve the way that you perform under on the field or during the game, it's really about being able to practice under pressure. And if you can practice under pressure and recreate as much of a play situation as possible, then you're more likely to have the same response when you're really in that moment. So what I see happening with lots of athletes is that when they train for the ideal game or the perfect game. But as you and I both know, Michael, there's rarely a perfect game.
Exactly.
So,
it's interesting that you say that part, because oftentimes, you know, I've watched a number of coaches during their practices, and they do practice for that ideal game or that perfect game. You know, and a lot of times when they see mistakes happen at the practice, instead of allowing the athletes to work through it, they'll stop them and make them rerun it again, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and something that you just said a second ago, I think it's probably best for them to let them actually work through it.
Absolutely, and there's two reasons for that. Because if they let the athletes run through it, then the athletes are going to learn that critical thinking skill of thinking on their feet, and by being able to figure it out themselves and seeing what works and what doesn't work, it gives them a lot of information, but it also builds their confidence. So because, you know, there's times when you just can't take a timeout, you know, or when we're talking about hurry-up defense, that, you know,
yes,
things are happening really, really quickly, and there's a reason why the defense can't respond when we do the hurry-up offense. And it's because they're not practicing for those situations.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so being able to really practice for all these things, being able to figure it out on your own, and also being willing to take more risks makes a big, big difference between the absolute best players and the ones that are just good enough.
Okay. Well, you know, let's flip the script real quick for a brief moment. You know, I talk to parents all the time, and I, you know, try to get parents to encourage their children and, you know, just try to give them some tidbits from time to time on things that they can do to help their child, he'll be a better athlete in overall performance and all that other kind of stuff. What are some of the things that you think that a parent can do that will help their child, you know, work towards a better mindset and a stronger mental game as well as a physical game?
I think the first thing is not to be critical of their kids when the kids aren't doing well. So you know, let the coach, let the team help the kids with doing their sport, whatever sport that might be, and don't be, you know, armchair quarterback or anything like that. Because if one of those kids made a mistake, they know that they made a mistake. They don't need mom or dad pointing it out also and just kind of adding to it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there's a subtle way that you can actually motivate people, whether it's kids or anybody, and that a lot of times we do it in the wrong way. So what happens is that if the say one of your players scores a touchdown, and you're going, great touchdown, fantastic touchdown. Well, you're actually reinforcing something that's outside of their control. But if you reinforce the effort that they put into it to make that touchdown, great run on that play, then you're really reinforcing what they did, and that's so much more powerful than anything else you could possibly do.
Okay. You know, a lot of times we as parents, we don't think of that part. You know, we often think about talking about the end result, but we don't think about emphasizing what led up to that end result, whether or not you threw a good pass or whether or not, you know, you was in the right place during the, you know, at the right time to receive the pass, all the other things. We're always looking at the point, the score, you know, the tackle or whatever, but all the things that led up to that is also a very strong point. Very good.
And Michael, I just want to say, when you focus on that end result and that's what you're congratulating them on, what studies have shown that actually takes away motivation, and that people will actually not put as much effort into what they're doing because they're afraid of making a mistake or failure and then disappointing you. So you really want to focus on what's within their control, which is their performance and their effort that they're putting into it, and that has long-lasting effects across the board.
Okay. Well, if you want to call in and you have some questions for us today, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. Love to hear from you. If you have any questions for our very special guest, Ms. Lauren Fogelman, calling in all the way from the West Coast, just to give us some insight on, you know, peak performance and that inner game attitude, that winning attitude that you need to have. Lauren, you know, a couple other things that came to mind when I was, I was recently just looking at National Signing Day, which today is the National Signing Day for football.
It sure is.
You know, I'm looking at how they're drumming up all the kids or pumping up all the kids, or the kids are getting all this instant advertisement and publicity, you know, before they even step on campus for the very first day. Oh, for the very first time, you know, are some of them things, could some of them things be detrimental to the athlete's performance?
I think that it just depends on the individual that we're talking about. Which I think for most of them, this is really a milestone. It's something that they've been working so many years towards. I mean, even though they might just be 18 years old, these kids have probably been looking towards this day for at least a decade, if not longer. So I think, first of all, we deserve to celebrate. And I really want to acknowledge the accomplishments for the kids that do get signed on. I don't think that the pressure is going to happen right now today, because this is something that they've been looking forward to and anticipating. I think it really is going to happen later on when they start to practice with this new team, and some of them might have always been the best and always been so far ahead from everybody else that they played around, and now they're in competition with others that are just as good, if not better than they are. And that's what throws some really amazing athletes off.
Yes, yes. I've seen that actually happen. You know, one minute you go from being the superstar on the team in your town or in your district or in your region to signing up to one of these, you know, big-time schools, Division I schools, and all of a sudden you're just another number. And if the child's not prepared for that or if the child's not mentally ready for that, you know, then he or she goes through some transition period. And you know, I think that may affect them to some degree until they realize or settle down, or the faster I think they settle in, the faster I believe that they get comfortable with their settings and able to perform a little bit better.
Absolutely. And what I've seen with some of them is that it really undermines their confidence, and that maybe they perform great under practice, but then it doesn't translate into the game day. Also with some of them, they just start to really chip away at their confidence, and it has like the snowball effect if it's not approached in the right way. So a lot of that then has to do with the coach and the team that they're on as well, and whether the coach has the skills to be able to help them work through that, or the coach actually kind of digs them in even deeper.
Yes. Okay. That definitely sounds like a plan. What are some of the new things that you've been doing over the last year or so since we last spoke? I mentioned briefly about the videos, but go ahead, give us.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the most important thing that's really taken up a lot of my time is I released a book in September called The Winning Point, How to Master the Mindset of Champions. The Winning Point, How to Master the Mindset of Champions. And that's been something that's been a big undertaking. It stretched me in so many different ways, but it's been a great learning experience.
Okay. And this book can be found where?
The book can be found on my website for the book. It's called thewinningpointbook.com.
Okay.
On book.com.
Okay.
And it's also on Amazon. And then third place is I have it on my website called expertsportsperformance.com. And if you go to my website, there's my blogs and my videos, which you talked about right there. There is tons of information if you're really interested in knowing more about the mental game and how to be able to use mindset strategies to become a clutch performer.
Well, I keep talking about the videos. I keep hinting towards the videos, and you haven't gave us any real insight on, you know, the thoughts behind the videos and, you know, what type of information we can learn from watching the videos.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a whole series out there. And give us some more on the videos.
There's definitely a whole bunch of stuff out there. What I really look at is if there's something going on as far as sports in the news right now, and taking what's going on, like the whole power outage and the disruption that happened in momentum for the Ravens during the Super Bowl, but really looking at going inside the athlete's head and what happened, and then giving you a framework, so a step-by-step approach that you can follow to be able to have a different response if you were in that situation. Also, looking at just things about high performance in general and how to create a mindset that's going to help rise you up to the top of your game, no matter what type of sport you're in. So really looking at the whole inner game piece, what you can be doing, even if it's not something that your coach is having you practice, what you could be doing on your own so that you can just kind of take it and run and see how far you can go on your own, regardless of what's going on.
You know, I wanted to ask you this question last time, but I think I forgot about it. But as I'm sitting here now, how much or is meditation an effective part of being an athlete?
I believe that there's many, many different ways for athletes to become centered. And if meditation is what works for you, to be able to clear your mind, get really, really focused, and just connect with what's coming through you as well as what's within you, then that is absolutely something that does work for so many different athletes. But it's not the only way, just like there's not just one way to run a play. It's that there's many different things, and what is it that works best for you? And not only what works best for you, but what are you willing to do that's going to help you have that trust, get really focused and centered? So one of the things that I use with the athletes that I work with is the emotional freedom techniques, which is something that's able to clear the resistance that they might have, any blocks, any obstacles, any doubts or worries that are there, and be able to have them connect with what their potential is and what it is that they really want to work towards. So there's many different things. It's just finding something that works for you.
Okay. Okay. And you said that was the freedom resistance?
Emotional freedom techniques. Actually, I really take a deep dive into that in my book, The Winning Point. And when people buy The Winning Point and I get a copy of their email receipt, there's actually free training videos that go with that as a bonus. And
okay.
It teaches them how to use it. It looks at performance anxiety, fear, dealing with injuries, things that we all face as athletes.
All right. And I believe, folks, for those of you that are listening to the show via the Internet, on our homepage, I believe I have a copy or a picture of the book cover, The Winning Point. Trying to pull it up here now to make sure it's still up there and it hasn't disappeared with everything else.
It was up there when I saw it, so.
Okay. But, we have a picture of The Winning Point, and just to make sure that that is something that you can go out there at Amazon and pick up a copy, and along with getting some information as far as the videos that go along with that. Well, Lauren, one other thing that I like to always hear, about is, I initially talked to you just before the show Necessary Roughness came out.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, you had an interview, I believe, with, was that L.A. Times?
Yes.
Los Angeles Times, okay. And I'd like to brag about being the first one to have the chance to interview before they got to you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
No, thank you. Thank you. Truly, thank you. Because, and it was funny because when I first mentioned the show, you said you had heard about it, but since you didn't watch TV, you hadn't had a chance to see any of the highlights or anything that builds up towards, how they were promoting the show. So
mm-hmm.
That was great. Have you had any other additional contact with the folks that does that show? Because I noticed the show is back on the air again, and they're, trying to do some more things with the show. So have you been involved with anything else on the show?
As far as that show, I really haven't. That's not where I've been putting my energy and my effort. This year, I've really been dedicated to reaching as many people as possible by doing interviews, going out to sports camps, workshops, conferences, and bringing in the whole mental game piece so that athletes can really reach their full potential. They don't hold themselves back. And that way, later on in their life, when they do finally retire from sports, they don't have to wonder what if.
Exactly. That part, you just said a mouthful right there, because often our athletes don't think about what happens after sports. They don't think about the follow-on part of life. For them,
mm-hmm.
is the here, the now, and what's going on. Preparing for the follow-on You know, I tell that to my son all the time. This is the time that you start preparing for the follow-on. It's not 2 weeks before your last game. This is the time now so that you're in a comfort zone once that time period comes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can our folks – go ahead. You were going to say something?
No. I fully agree with what you're talking about, is that just like you prepare for the game of your life, for years and years and years to have that momentum, or like signing day, you don't just hope that things work out all of a sudden when it shows up. You really have to put in the time and the effort to have the outcomes that you want to expect, and that way you stay in control as opposed to letting the circumstances control you.
Okay. Well, you know, I bragged earlier about you actually being an athlete and still being involved in rowing, competitive rowing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on the competition circuit?
Right now I am sidelined because of a back injury that I have. So that is my priority, but as soon as my back is good to go, I'm going to be back in the boat.
Okay. Good point that you brought up and good transition. You know, how does an athlete work through coming out of an injury, getting back into a solid mindset on being a top performer?
That's an excellent question, because I think we all hate being sidelined. It's been one of the most frustrating things that I've had to deal with also. But what I really found for myself is that I love rowing so much that I'm willing to do absolutely anything that's going to get me healed so I can really get back in the game. And as a result of that, I'm really looking at many different modalities, but my focus is on the bigger picture of going back to performance again with rowing. What I would say with athletes is really connect with what it is that you want to get back to and doing. There's a lot of docs and practitioners out there that might give you grim odds, but I have seen more often than not that if you're really committed to it, really connected to it, and your heart is in the right place, then you have the ability to be that underdog and rise up to the occasion and go against the odds.
Yes, yes, without a doubt. You know, and my biggest fear when I see an athlete that's been sidelined, you know, he or she trying to rush back into,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to rush back into it, thinking that, okay, well, I need to get back on the floor. I need to get back on the court. I need to get back out there on the field. You know, my team needs me or whatever. You know, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I say your mind has to be set for it just as well as your body has to be set for it. And if you step back out there and the first time you jump up and you come down and you wince a little bit, you know, something tells me that you wasn't really and truly ready for it. Or you know, I've seen where an athlete was sidelined for, you know, 3-4 months, got back into the game, and he, you know, was hesitant, really extremely hesitant, to
mm-hmm.
even do some of the things that he was capable of doing prior to. You know, he went down for an ankle injury, you know, just a high ankle sprain, recovered from that. And everybody took a look at it, thought it looked good, and you know, all the doctors and the professionals that, you know, knows the body inside and out, took a look at it, thought it looked good, thought he was ready for it. The trainer got on it and started working with it to see the mobility of it, so on and so forth. But notice that this athlete has stayed away from doing some of the things that he's capable of doing. And I think a lot of that has to do with some type of mental block. How would an athlete get past that type of mental block?
First of all, that's very insightful. A couple of years ago, I was working with someone who does dressage. So they do show jumping with a horse. And this person who was very, very high up at the top of the state rankings ended up getting thrown from her horse with a very, very bad injury. And one of the things about dressage is it's the only sport where your team member is an animal. So there's some things that are outside of your control, and horses tend to be very, very sensitive and intuitive. So when she was finally able to get back on, she knew that she was hesitating, and her horse knew that she was hesitating too. He really sensed it. So what we worked on is how she was, first of all, frustrated. She still had fears because she was afraid of getting re-injured. And that's really common with athletes, that they are afraid of getting re-injured and going through this whole experience again. So what we worked on is some of the blocks that she had concerning getting back into the swing of things, being able to reach her full potential. And not only was it blocks about the re-injury, but how she blamed herself for having that happen in the first place. And once we were able to really dig down and get to that part of her blaming herself, then we were able to clear some of those blocks and obstacles, and she started to move forward again and really rise back up to where she was before her injury was, if not even further ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought about a couple other things while you were saying that, and I wanted to also get this point in there. I know you talked about you being an athlete, have been sidelined for a while, and now you're getting ready to get back to the point of getting back in the swing of things. Let's talk about some of the your basic everyday athletes, that, you know, the ones that go out there and they experience something, you know, they get that soreness, that initial soreness, and that deters them away from going back out and trying exercise again or trying that particular event again, because they go through that that just, you know, basic muscle soreness. How do they get past that type of block?
Well, one of the things I do talk about in my book, The Winning Point, is really connecting with your big why. What is the reason that you're doing this? If you're doing this because you have an upcoming reunion or a special event and you want to look good for that, then that's what's called an external motivation, and it'll only keep you interested until that a particular event happens, and then once the event is over, you're going to go back to your old ways of doing stuff. But if you really are looking at getting exercise and active because you want to have that increased energy, you know it's good for you, you want to maybe be a role model for somebody else, whatever it is for you, but if it's personal, that's called internal motivation. And that's what's going to keep you going even when it gets tough. One of the things I think becomes an obstacle with us when we get into those tough moments or it hurts is that we don't actually know enough information ourselves, but we think that we should be an expert on it, even though we've never done it before. And that's where I think working with a trainer, if this is new to you, and getting some insights as to really what is best for you, given, you know, your physical abilities and where you're at, is going to be priceless, because having the right way to do it is going to be so much better than trying to figure it out on your own and maybe overdoing it. Well, you have a Charlie horse for 3 or 4 days, or not doing enough and then not really seeing any results given the amount of effort that you're putting into it because you don't have the right form and technique. So I would say get someone who's an expert at it, because it's going to save you a lot of time, money, and frustration.
Okay. Okay. Well, folks, you've heard it from an expert herself, and hold on a second, Lauren. I seen that caught a little breeze. I don't know where this breeze just came from. you know, you heard it from the expert herself, and, you know, the best part about, and even when talking to Lauren, I first met Lauren some years ago in our conversation, I was truly impressed with the fact that, you know, she's an athlete. She's not just talking the talk, she's walking the walk as well, as we like to put it, you know. And she's experienced quite a few of these things. And if I'm not mistaken, if you don't mind me sharing this little piece about, you know, really got into competitive sports at an older age.
Yeah, I was 44.
Okay. And, you know, that's something at the competitive level, that's very impressive. Very impressive, just to say in itself, because the fact that most of the time at 44, a lot of us are looking for a couch to stretch out on and moving to that next phase of our life, being a couch potato or armchair quarterback or something like that. But, you know, at that stage, you decided to break into competitive sports, and that in itself is truly impressive. Well, Lauren,
thank you, Michael. There's no turning back on that. So.
I understand. You know, and we've been on the air, folks, for the last few minutes or so, talking with Ms. Lauren Fogelman. And Lauren, give us your official title. I think I keep messing it up every time I try to get it right.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm really into titles, but if I have to claim one, it's high performance coaching. So
okay.
Basically what I do is really help you to rise up to your full potential in less time than if you didn't use any mindset strategies whatsoever and just depended on brute force.
Okay. And where can our audience find you if they want to look you up or find you on Facebook, on the Internet, or Twitter, or whatever? Where can we find you for more information?
The best place to find me is on my website, expertsportsperformance.com. And all my other links are actually there on the sidebar on the right. And I just wanted to let your listeners know that next Wednesday on the 13th, I'm doing a free teleclass on that emotional freedom techniques, the alternative we were talking about to meditation, so you can get your blocks and obstacles out of the way as far as fear, anxiety, distractions, and also dealing with injuries go. So I'm going to be covering all those topics. It's a free call. And go to expertsportsperformance.com, and you can go ahead and register for that.
Yes, go to expertsportsperformance. I'm sorry.
Mhm. Yep.
Yes. Go to her site, check it out. Register for the free teleconference. And for whatever reason, if you mix it up as bad as I just mixed it up, I do have a link on my Facebook page as well, the Parents Coaching Parent Network Facebook page. We do have the link on the page as well. And I believe I've also tweeted about it a few times, so if you want to take a look at our tweets and pick up the link from there. You can also get there as well. Well, you know, thank you, Lauren, for being on with us again. As always, it's been a pleasure, a true pleasure to have you on with us. You've been a great guest. I learn something every time I get a chance to sit down and talk to you. And I know those folks out there, and as they put it, radio world, internet radio world nowadays, have a chance to learn something as well. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity, Michael. And I know that the parents that are following you are making a difference in their kids' lives. So good for you, and kudos for really getting all that different information out there to them.
Well, I like to try to keep them informed.